Yeah, I did it on Sky News this morning. They were like, wanted to introduce you. And they read out my bio and the camera pans to me and I'm just like.
Also, when you read out the bio, it's like, inspiring women every single day.
It's just like.
It sounds so fucking cringy.
Please, stop. Welcome back to another episode of Girls Know Nothing. Today's guest, Lucy Reeves, is a fitness influencer that likes to promote body positivity. After starting Girls That Lift Facebook group while graduating from university with a marketing degree, she's now built up over 400,000 followers on social media, as well as over 80,000 followers in Girls That Lift on Facebook. Lucy also partners with huge brands such as Gymshark and Runner App to promote body positivity and to show you guys that being a fitness influencer does not come in one size. So welcome to the studio, Lucy. I met you at a Freestyle event.
Yes.
And I've literally followed you ever since and I literally love your content. So I was like planning 2024 podcast. I was like, I have to have Lucy on. I'm like a little fangirl.
This is my first Instagram. Podcast.
Is it?
Yeah.
I love that. Take I know. A podcast virginity.
Yeah, deflower me right here.
I'll do it nicely, I promise. It won't be too difficult. No, I love your content because we were talking earlier about how when we were growing up, Fitspo was just so toxic. And yeah. Like the fitness industry, I always felt like the fitness industry wasn't going to be for like me because of how small everyone was. Mm. And it was just pictures of salads and detox teas. And I cannot stand that shit.
Yeah, it's so good.
So, you know, what inspired you to start making the fitness content that you do now?
I mean, I think that exact reason. So when I was at uni, I started a little fitness Instagram. And I took the approach of, okay, I'll shrink myself so I fit in and that's how I'll grow it. So I just went and tried to go smaller and smaller and smaller so that I thought, well, that's what everyone else looks like and they're doing really well. Everyone loves their content. Everyone thinks that they're really cool. So I'll just do that. And then I was doing all the thing that all the bodybuilders do. And I think that's the other thing that people normalize in the fitness industry, that the everyday person should train and eat like a bodybuilder,
yeah.
Track, hit all these different targets. And it's not realistic in everyone's life. Not everyone can stand there with a scale and track how much protein they've got. Like, let's teach people how to accurately feed themselves rather than like, just track it and then you're good. And then I was tracking all the way up until like third year of uni. And I then lost my granddad. And the turning point for me was I was still tracking when I was providing end-of-life care for him. And I sort of looked in the mirror and I thought, what the hell are you doing? Why are you still tracking and being, like, I was panicking that I wasn't hitting a step count while providing end-of-life care for my granddad, who did nothing but care for me my whole life. So why was it important and in the back of my mind the whole time? And at that point, I was like, no, I've got to get a grip. I've got to switch things up. So I stopped refilming each clip 100 times to make sure the angle was right. The amount of RDLs I used to do, like just do one set and be like, camera angle's wrong, turn it, try and get a different one, turn it, trying to get a different one. And then I just stopped and I was like, okay, well, that's what the RDL looks like and that's how my body looks doing it. I'll just post it. And so many people really appreciated it and thought and felt the same way as I did, that the fitness industry was like, look one way and you'll be considered as like a successful athlete or fit rather than like performance-based. So that basically sent my content down a river of body confidence and like trying to just encourage other people to be happy with their current physique rather than be like, oh, I can't post any pictures or film myself or look in the mirror unless I look at how everyone else does online. Because a lot of the time, not everyone else looks like that online. They've refilmed that shot about 500 times to try and make sure that it looks right.
Yeah, I think, do you know what? It's when tracking is such a horrible thing to do, also makes you realize that what one size of portion of pasta is supposed to be as opposed to what I eat.
Yeah.
But like, I think most of the time people do it because, especially when you're going through something tough, like you were saying, you're providing end of life care, it's because it's the only thing you really have control over.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that probably had a little bit of a part to play?
Yeah. And I think it's also just because it became the normal that grandma would bring me like 4 biscuits and I'd be like, get over it. Eat 4 biscuits. Your grandma is quite obviously coping by feeding.
Yeah.
You know, all grandmas do. They just like, I'll bake to you a new cake. I was like, I didn't even finish the one you baked yesterday. But they love to feed and that's how they sort of care for people. So, but I was like, yeah, I just thought you need to just get over it. It's not that deep. Eating three biscuits instead of four is not going to kill you.
But do you know what I think it is as well? When we're like, I see so many jokes and content out there that take the mick out of fitness influencers for refilming their shot.
Yeah.
And it's like day in life fitness influencer, and they like put water on themselves, turn the camera on, do one rep, turn the camera off, and like, yeah, I'm done for the day.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's low key true, because that's how I started. I mean, I wasn't an influencer then. I was a uni student trying to film. But it was, you just really take it 100 times. And you think, I remember filming with my friends who were also filming at the time. Weren't influencers or anything like that. She was like, oh, Lucy, that angle is not right. Can you just try it again? But like maybe from a bit higher, you can see like either my cellulite or my back roll. And I was like, you know, sit there and you go, okay, and again, and again. And I know that I had done that as well. I was like, this is just too much. Just film it and post it how it looks normally.
I think as well, when you're training, I think because of seeing certain content creators that have the angle perfect.
Yeah.
I look at the room when I'm working out and I'm like, I don't look like that. Yeah. But also like, you're not supposed to look perfect when you're working out, because you're
working out
for a different reason.
Yeah. That is so true. I remember looking all the time at like fitness influencers. I'm like, you guys aren't breaking a sweat.
Yeah.
But my face when I'm weightlifting is awful. I watched some videos back and I honestly look like I'm going for a poo. It's awful. Like a deadlift, my face is pulling all sorts of things. I'm like, how are these girls deadlifting some really heavy weights and just looking absolutely gorgeous while I'm doing it? It's not me. It's not me at all.
I took a post-workout photo the other day, yesterday, and my face is a completely different colour to my
just
body.
Just a red little tomato face.
I literally look like a red little cherry and the rest of me is like a normal skin colour. But, you know, obviously body confidence is like a massive central theme that goes through all of your fitness content. And obviously you were talking about like how you were trying to control your eating. How has that shaped how you view your own body now?
I mean, that last year I did London Marathon, and for me that helped me see that you should look at your body based on what it can do rather than what you want it to look like. That sort of shift in mindset for me really tied like body confidence and fitness together, because for a lot of people, they don't think that they could really align. Which I guess makes sense. A lot of people say to me, like, how can you be confident in your body but yet work out? Because a lot of people see working out as wanting to change your body. So for me, having the approach of what my body can do over what my body should look like doing it, especially doing it, was a huge shift for me. And now I don't necessarily see my body as like a project that needs to be changed, but one that could be challenged. And that's what I think, you know, doing something, you don't have to go quite as extreme as running London Marathon. Like, that's quite an extreme.
That is quite hard, yeah.
but for me, that I'm quite an all of extremes girl. I think so many people are like that. And for me, it had to go, okay, well, if I'm not going all the way like bodybuilder style, tracking, la, 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 I'll go completely the other way of doing it because I can, and my body, I can challenge my body rather than changing it.
Always, social media can be such a negative place though. And even if you're trying to be a positive voice and all of that stuff, there's always going to be some idiot online who wants to like make it a negative space or try and make you change, like make you revert back to your old style of living and your old content. How do you cope with that?
Do you know what? I find it easier when the comments come from men.
Okay.
When the comments come from like other women, I find it quite difficult because it's like, why are we still in this space of just tearing people down? But a lot of the time people make the comments because they either don't understand it or they're jealous of what you maybe are doing. So like some of my running content, people are like, you're really slow. I'm like, okay, you do it.
Yeah. I had that actually after the London Marathon.
I did it in 5 hours. Well, 4:45, I think. I can't actually really remember.
You still finished it.
Right? And someone was like, that was really slow for a fitness influencer. I was like, babe, I've only become a fitness influencer in the past like 2 months. Like, it wasn't a full-time job of mine. I was just a girl that liked running. Also, even if it is my full-time job, why should I then be like super fast?
But also, fitness is such a broad concept. Like, you might be a runner. Like, Mo Farah probably couldn't lift as heavy as you, but he could run faster than you.
Also, like, do you know, lots of people do realise how far a marathon is. Like, it is a long time. And it was only, and also when you're training, you only do 34K, really. And then you So you actually have to just find another 8K from somewhere. You're like, right, brilliant, and just pull it out of somewhere.
Yeah, you just cry the rest of the way around. Because I think somebody said to me that last 6 miles is like running a whole new marathon again.
Honestly, yeah. And people go, oh, you know, but you have all the time to train, or you should, you know, be faster. I'm like, why should I be faster? I was training for it while I had a corporate job. But it doesn't make any difference. I still did it. Do you know what I mean? And running marathon is so hard. And there was like quite old people running it as well.
Yeah.
That was impressive. You sit there and you think, wow, I'm struggling crying. You're lapping me.
I actually saw when I crossed the finish line after I got put into a wheelchair that there was an old couple I was the really dramatic one in the wheelchair, but there was an old couple that were like, I was like, can you take my photo? Because I went on my own. And they just finished London was the last one of the big six. And as a couple, they'd run all of the big six marathons in the world in the last 2 years. And I was like, I am embarrassed.
It took me like 4 months to recover from London.
It took me 4 months to grow my toenails back.
Honestly, like my knee felt like it had a sponge in it for months.
Yeah.
Both of them did. And the next day I actually couldn't walk.
But
could not walk.
Couldn't even go down the stairs backwards.
Yeah, and I couldn't even sit on the toilet. I had to be carried onto I thought to myself, this is something you should film, like fitness influencer can't even sit on the toilet.
There you go then, like that's how you know you've done your job properly.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But you said then about like how you were working corporate job and you were starting this. How do you know that it's time to quit your job and put this, like, go to this full time, because you're turning away from stability to do this?
Took a while, I can't lie to you, it really took a while. I was on the verge for quite some time. And I was like, no. I also went to uni for 3 years. Well, I did a diploma, so I did 4 years, including my degree. And I was like, I've just worked 4 years to work in a corporate job, like my dream job. I did it for 8 months. I was like, I can't quit now. I've just done all of that work to be here. Like if 3 years ago Lucy would have seen this, she'd have been like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You've just paid so much money in tuition fees to like get into that position of a job. And for me, it wasn't until I sort of had a more like a rolling income with brands until I could do it, because I have no backing. Like I don't come from a lot of wealth. My mum wouldn't have been able to like support me. I still had to pay rent. So I only would have been able to do the transition once I had realistically got a stable income from it, which I think a lot of people don't talk about.
Yeah.
Because they're like, no, I just knew it was time. I'm like, no, I knew it was time because I had a stable income from it, or was predicted stable income, like I was signing the contracts. So I wouldn't have been able to do it if not. I did it for years on the side of my job. And looking back at it now, I think, how did I do it? I posted every single day while I worked in London.
Yeah, because there's always a lot of stigma, isn't there, that people that are influencers are usually, what's the phrase when you like nepo babies?
I don't know what that means.
Where you come from loads of wealth.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's kind of just like a hobby that you can make money from.
Yeah, no. For me, I don't come from a lot of wealth. My parents are split and, you know, I was raised by a single mum, so we didn't have a lot of wealth growing up. Sun holidays, caravan parks. It was, you know, the sort of thing that I did a lot of growing up. My jacket ran at a charity shop.
I love it though. Yeah. I love stuff like
I mean,
that.
I know it's now cool, but back when I got it for my job and I was like, I can't afford
it
a
suit.
It
never used to be though.
No. So I bought my suits from a charity shop. But yeah, I didn't come from a lot of wealth, and I never thought that you could earn money through doing this. I knew that people had money doing it, but I didn't think that you'd actually be able to make enough to supplement it. I always thought that they had support from either families or they just were generally wealthy, and therefore they could do a few posts and earn a little bit more pocket money and it sort of be the way that they lived. But it's not. Realistically.
Do you think because of that background, leaving a corporate job's scarier? Because
it's petrifying.
Both my parents come from lower economic, socioeconomic backgrounds. So when I was like, oh, I'm going to leave my job.
I don't think my dad truly understands what I do. My mum I think she's just about grasped it now. That's because I live with her. So she's like, oh, are you filming? I'm like, yep. She actually bought me a little on-air sign. you turn on or off to put outside my bedroom because I'm 24. Yeah, I still live at home with my mum.
That's fine.
I mean, have you seen the prices of houses? I'm just never going to leave. I said that to her the other day. You know I'm not leaving, right? It was absolutely petrifying leaving my job. Lucky enough, I didn't really know what money felt like. So the income I was getting from my very low wage job, because I was post-grad, so it was just grad pay, which is rubbish.
Peanuts.
Absolutely nothing. After you paid for your commute into London and then out, you're like, right, brilliant. Well, I've got £1 left.
I can buy myself a Pret if I'm lucky.
Yeah. Maybe go McDonald's drive-through on the way home. But yeah, no, I didn't come from anything. So it was really hard to be like, yep, I'll quit. And then not have, definitely, even now, I panic. And I probably bug my management all the time for being like, oh, what's next? Because I'm just, I always panic. And I'm also a little bit of a pessimist that I'll be like, right, well, I won't be working with them next month. So how am I going to, and then I panic. I'm like, okay, how am I going to make ends meet? How am I going to pay my rent? And
how do you manage motivation in a job like this then? Because like it is, people like think you get so much freedom and you do, but you do work 7 days a week.
Yeah, and you can work everywhere, but it also means you can work everywhere. Like there's two flips of the coin. I don't think I have one or two days where I fully switch off from Instagram or whatever, but it's rare. It's very rare. And like, even if you, I can't even like just doom scroll anymore through social. You know, for example, if you're like, right, today's been really long, I'm just going to have a bath. And doom scroll for TikTok. Yeah. I watch every TikTok I watch, I think, oh, I could use that sound.
Yeah. And you like save stuff.
Yeah, and I save it or I send it to my like my actual account. Because if I watch it on like, I'm trying to have like a private account that I had basically for like school friends and use that in my downtime rather than scrolling through my actual account. But even so, I send it to the other one. I'm like, oh, that's a great sound. Yeah. Oh, I could do something like that. Oh, that clip looks really cool. I could create something like that.
And you end up in a really weird rabbit hole.
Yeah, and then next thing I know, notebook's out. All the ideas are down. And my boyfriends are like, it's 4 a.m. Please, can you stop? I'm like, sorry.
I love that really like authentic, non-influency days that like get ready with me content.
Oh, but I am so unaesthetic. It's a joke.
I quite like it though, because the idea of I'm guilty of doing it, getting up, setting your tripod up, turning the camera on, getting back into bed. And I know when I'm cropping it, I'm like, this is so fake.
You should see the pile of rubbish down there. Like it's so much worse. And I think that's the other thing that I tried so long to create content that other people were doing that was like going really well. So for example, the fitness stuff that was doing really well tended to be from great angles and they didn't have the sweat or the bad angle or clip or whatever. And then the days in life or the vlogs, I was thinking, gosh, how is your house so beautiful and tidy and marble and clean?
It's because you're always only looking at this corner and then not the stuff.
And I live at home in my family room with my mum and I now share that room with my boyfriend. So there's two fully grown adults trying to live two fully grown adult lives living out of one wardrobe. There's no room.
That sounds like chaos.
There's no room for us to like, every Christmas I'm like, right, I've got a new pair of pajamas. Where am I going to put these? The pajama drawer is overflowing.
You know you can clear stuff out,
I know, but it's like, it's shared between, and my boyfriend says to me, one in, one out. If you buy a new coat, the other one's got to go. It's hard though, isn't it?
Are you a hoarder?
A little bit. But I'm also like, it's just, my room is a mess. Even no matter how hard I try to keep on top of it. And even my version of my clean room looks chaotic in comparison to some people's beautifully aesthetic lives.
My house only looks beautifully aesthetic and clean because I have a dog, and if I leave something on the floor, she'll eat it.
Yeah.
So that is the only reason my house looks clean. If I didn't have that, it probably would be on the floor.
It's just, I think, but it's also like the way people's houses are structured and laid out. Like my bedside cabinets came from my grandma's new caravan that she lives in now. She lives in like a static home vibe. So it's
just stole
caravan.
Her bedside tables.
Well, she didn't need both of them. She was like, I'm going to get rid of it. Can you take it to the tip for
fine.
Me? She moved out of my grandparents' house and into this static home and she brought her bedside tables with me. She goes, I don't like the ones that they left here.
Oh,
I was
fine.
Like, oh, perfect. I'll take it. It's a take and it's a skip. But do you know what I mean? It's like, I just, rooms aren't beautiful. Houses aren't aesthetic and life doesn't just flow. And I think that's the reason why I tried to sort of make it, because I was trying really hard to make that sort of really cute content. Like, you know, the little get ready to me in the bathrooms, headband on, and you're making the sound. Everyone's like,
yeah, until you look at the floor afterwards and you think, it's all covered in water.
Yeah, and I just looked so silly making it. I was like, oh, this is not a reflection of my life.
I'm actually a member of your Girls That Lift Facebook group.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was actually surprised that many people use Facebook still.
Me too.
Because it's a big group.
And it's all the time.
Yeah, I get every 10 minutes every day.
Yeah, every 10 minutes it's someone's posting.
But that must feel really good to like know that you've made that community though.
It is. It's really nice. It is. It's nice that it's sort of like I tried to make it like a non-toxic place where we can just ask fitness content questions and you can just be, you know, just asking questions about lifting or how are we, what leggings do you guys like, or just how are you guys doing, and trying to make friends through hobbies rather than circumstances, which I think is really hard in, especially in this current era.
Yeah, because I think actually, like I was saying to one of my friends, like I've been a gym goer for a long time, but obviously it's January. There are people that have joined the gym as part of their New Year's resolutions. And I said that it was really sad for me to know that there were groups of girls hiding upstairs away from the weights room or the weights area because they didn't feel comfortable because of the testosterone hanging around.
I mean, it is petrifying.
It is, especially for your first time. Mm. And like the only reason I feel comfortable doing it is because I have been going for years. Like I remember my first time I would hide in the corner too.
Even going to a new gym now, I'm like, God.
Oh no, yeah. It's the biggest fear.
My gym, I'm like, I walk in, I'm like, yeah, I know this place. I've been training here for 9 years. New gym, I'm like, God.
I look like I've never been to a gym.
How does that piece of equipment work? Don't know, never seen it in my life. How'd you pick up a dumbbell?
What do you think are like the challenge, the stereotypes that women face when it comes to lifting weights?
Oh, there's so many. I remember even now, like if I go to like my local pub, like it's pretty strong for a girl. Like you can lift quite a lot for a girl. I'm like, dude, I can lift more than you. I know I can. And he's like, no, no, can't. Yeah, I can. But it's like, why is it always, that's really strong for a girl. I'm just strong. Can we just leave it as, oh, you're nice and you're strong. Don't have to like put the for a girl on the end of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it, but it's like, why do you have to, really good job for a girl, aren't you? Doing
well
really
done.
Well.
Do you know, it's good. Probably worse as well because you're young.
Yeah.
So they make it like a really like, you're a sweet, innocent girl vibe. I mean, you might be, but.
Yeah, I mean, but I also am really strong, so let's see. But also they get, you always get the, you don't want to get too bulky.
Yes, I remember that actually, but like being too scared to lift weights because I was worried about looking like a man, whatever that
Someone says to me like, do you want your legs to get any bigger? And I was like,
yes, I do.
I was like, I mean, yeah, but also if it's a byproduct of what I'm doing that brings me joy, absolutely fine with me.
Yeah.
Like I'm not doing it intentionally anymore to grow them. I deadlift because it's great for me mentally and for performance wise. I run. So if that means that my legs are going to get bigger because they're going to get stronger, absolutely.
I always think about the sound when I'm in the gym now about that woman that's like, she lifts weights so she can fight bears in the forest or something. That's always what goes through my head. I'm like, yeah, I want to fight a bear.
Yeah. I always like, I don't want to have to ask anyone to help me lift something up as well. But that comes from a fiercely independent mother.
Yeah. Do you think your mother's the reason why you've like had to really like be that strong person physically?
Yeah, I think, but she never asks anyone to her downfall for help.
We've all been there.
Yeah, you're just like, I'm not asking, but I just don't want to have to be like, oh, sorry, can you just help me pick that up? No, I'm good. I can do it on my own.
Does give me the ick though when I have to open the jar for someone else.
Yeah. Or when I can't open the jar. I'm like, for God's sake, I can lift like 120 kilograms in the gym. This jar just won't
just the
budge.
Jam defeated by marmalade.
And I have to go then to my, can you open it for me?
I'm now the designated suitcase person.
I love it. Yeah.
I do for the first three yeah, and then afterwards like, oh, I'm like, God. Oh no, I'm done now.
I had it once. I used to work in a pub and we had to move tables all the time, right? And I'd just move in by myself. And someone would be like, you're right, do you need some help? I'm like, I'm all right. I'm fine, I can do it. But my fingers are like losing blood circulation from carrying these things.
You always, I don't know, this conversation reminds me of like, you'd be the kid that has like six chairs under each arm. Like at the end of the school assembly, yeah, to put them away.
Yeah.
Oh my God, now I've completely lost what I was talking about. That's...
I'm not surprised because we're just going like this.
Yeah, but I like those kinds of podcasts because I really don't like forcing people's conversation, and you should be able to feel comfortable talking about what makes you happy because there's a reason why you're here, right? To talk about you as a person.
And my brain is all over the place.
But that's normal though, because we've spent the whole best part of half an hour talking about how some people are actually fed up. It's not even just people are fed up of making it. Consumers are fed up of consuming perfectly curated content.
Yeah.
And it would just be weird if I sat here and tried myself to do the same. I hit so many things. I think in the last episode, I like smacked the microphone against.
Yeah.
It's just...
We're just humans. Even though we're in front of a camera, just make mistakes. I don't know why I just did that. It's so stupid.
I make so many though.
It's like a rabbit. Just like this.
I think actually I do weird stuff on here and they end up on wiki feet, so you know.
Oh, so far.
At least you're wearing trainers.
I did do that. I mean, got my turners painted. I was like, I can't get them out.
There's no point now because if you're doing Paris Marathon.
Oh, there's gonna be none left.
You won't have any to like, because I actually, when I first went to get a pedicure, when I started training for London, I had shellac on my toes. So I thought, that'll be fine. And then she removed the shellac and they were all like pitch black. And they were just like hanging off. And she looked at me and she was like, this is fucking vile. She was like, they're all going to come off. And I was like, well.
Yeah. She's so sorry.
She thought I went partying too much.
Oh.
Like, too much partying. I was like, no.
Yeah.
If you call crying midway.
The whole way through London. While thousands of people watch both online and in person. Yeah. Party too hard.
Apart from the troll saying that you ran it too slowly, how was your experience of London?
It was great. I was so euphoric in so many ways. It was so hard, but it was so amazing to see the amount of people, just everyday people running, and running for a reason. Yeah. A lot of people run those sort of things for a charity that's close to their heart. I did it for Phyllis Tuckwell charity, which helped me provide under-life care for granddad. Not just me, my family. And they helped us find like the apparatus. There's like these chairs that like tip people out. Sounds really brutal. It's not like an ejector seat.
I kind of feel like I need one of them.
But it's sort of, so he could stand up really slowly. I mean, I used it, I think, more than he did, actually. He didn't use it that much, but they sort of help you find the furniture for those sorts of things.
Yeah.
And so I ran it for that. And I think that's what's amazing. Everyone's like, I want to go for a sub-4. I'm like, I want to finish.
Do you know what though? I was one of those people. Because,
everyone is, I think, deep down, because that's what they see everywhere.
Because I did my final long run. I did my 20 miles in 3.5 hours.
So it was possible.
So I was like, oh yeah, I could do it. But then like, you have to think about all the other factors. Like you don't get to choose when you run.
Yeah.
You also don't practice running with 50,000 other people.
Or for example, dodgy tummy.
Yeah.
And you have to go.
I got run over by a wheelchair
stand in a queue.
As well. So I didn't factor that in my training either.
No, and you have to stand in a queue.
Yeah.
To go to these little porta potties.
I just vomited outside the cubicle because I didn't make it in.
And I'm like, I need a wee. Or for example, if you're a female and it's your time of the month.
Yeah.
You don't factor in the stops.
No,
to change those things.
Just free go for it. The amount of people that sent me that video of, what's that woman?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, that video.
I can't remember what her name is.
Nina. Poo in the street.
Yeah. I can't remember who that is.
The amount of times I was sent that video.
Yeah, me too.
They were like, you're going to do this? And I'm like, well, I'm not planning on it.
Not doing it intentionally. But
if it happens, it happens. But like, I think actually that was probably one of the most heartwarming things about it. And like seeing people's signs as you're walking around.
Yeah.
Like, I got really emotional.
So did I. I think I cried pretty much at every kilometer, you know, because that's when people stand.
Yeah.
Or every mile, and that's when people stand to cheer people on. But the last 2K, I was a bawling mess. I paid for the photos. You know the photos that they take, right? And one of them, I'm going to show this. As I cross the finish line, it's appalling. It's the worst photo of myself I've ever seen. And I like this black marks, like mascara rolling down my face. And I was also, I filmed myself as I ran across the finish line, right? And so I'm just like this.
I was like, God, that's the most 2020 that you've ever seen.
Influencer in the wild vibes. Ripped.
But I just looked, yeah, just cried my whole way through.
But you're going to do Paris.
Yeah.
Are you doing it for the same charity?
No, so I'm doing Paris with a company called Runner. They're a training app. And I use them to train for London, paid as a customer. And this time they asked me if I could go run with them.
Well, so you can't drop out of Paris now.
No, no options. I'm in it.
Do you think you're not going to put pressure on yourself to do it in a time?
No. I mean, so there's a person in the back of your head that's like, you can do it in like a sub-4. You did it in 4, 5 hours last year. Knock an hour off. Yeah, that's easy.
It's easier. It sounds easy.
I thought that meant I started my training and then I did an 18K the other day and I was like, I'm just going to go.
Okay, you're putting me to shame. I'll see you. I'll crawl over the finish line. You'll be like, just sat there.
This is the thing. I put loads of training in and I probably won't do anything better, but I'm not putting pressure on myself. I'm not going for a time. And I think there could possibly be a little bit more pressure because I'm going with an app that helps people run. And I'm going, and they've got other athletes that are running with them that I think are really good at running. I'll probably be the slowest one and that's fine.
Just always remember that there was the last person to finish London Marathon had a brain injury. He literally was in a car accident earlier that year.
I know.
And he still finished it.
I know.
So if he can do it no matter what.
Yeah. And it's also just like a little tour of Paris. So yeah, I'm going to fully take it in. I'm not going to be so zoned in on getting like a sub-4 that I don't look like at the Eiffel Tower.
Wear a GoPro on your head.
I should get one of those ones. It's like a really 0.5 one.
Oh my God, was it like the Francis the Train guy?
Yes, yeah.
I can't wait to see that content on your socials. Also, I probably, hopefully if you see me at Paris, you won't see me vomiting outside the...
I'm pray for you that you get a full straight go at it this time.
No gels and Lucozade for me, I think.
Which gels did you use?
I think it was one of the Lucozade ones because I think I lost one of my... ones right, that I train
because I've just bought the, I think they're Morton. Have you seen those?
I've
have
not
you
heard seen about those ones?
Apparently they're really good for the stomach.
I've heard
sit well and they don't make people vomit.
Someone told me to take honey sachets with me.
My boyfriend is all on salt and honey.
Yeah, that's what they told me
he
to use.
He fed me 2 crackers, honey and salt. Didn't feed it to me, but he gave it to me on a plate before we did our 18K the other day and I was like, I don't want to eat that. It looks vile. He was like, do it.
I carry jelly cubes in my bra. In my 20-mile
run. I'm loving candy kittens in my little running pouch.
I might try that.
It's just really nice. And I get so sick of the same sweet over and over again.
I'm glad training. I bought a vest though, because I was like rummaging around my bra like during my 20-mile run, just finding all my snacks.
Yeah, no, that's not ideal.
I always ask every guest the same final question.
Fabulous.
So if you could offer a piece of advice to your younger self based on your life and career journey so far, what would it be and why?
Care less, I think. I spent, and I still do, so it's something I'm still trying to learn to get over, but I spent majority of my childhood and then young adult life caring so much, not only what other people thought, but other people, how people perceived me, how, if I was going to make the right choice or not, just deep thought, everything. And now it's not that I don't care, but I just don't care to the point that it's detrimental to my health. Or to the way that I take step forward in life. For so long, I was like, no, I can't do that. That's public speaking. Me 2 years ago, no, sorry. Sorry, babe, can't do that. Busy. I'd have said to you, sorry, can't come because I've never done something like this before. I'd have been like, no, it's out of my comfort zone. I can't do that. Whereas now it's like, okay, well, just do it. Like, why do I care so much if it goes wrong or if people see that I'm a bit weird? like, why is that so deep? It's not... And also, don't spend so long trying to think that happiness will come from the perfect physique. Because even when I was smaller, I was the least happy I've ever been in my life. Whereas now, people might look at me and think that my physique isn't goals or...
I hate that.
Yeah, me too. Or if it's... I don't know, people might judge it in one way or the other. I get comments online saying... oh, but you've got the perfect physique. And other people, literally the comment right underneath it, really nasty comments. And I'm thinking, so you can see the best of both worlds. And I think I would just care less and live in your body rather than living like for it, trying to make it this perfect specimen that has no blemishes, no scars, rolls, cellulite, nothing like that. because that's not human. We spend so long, and then we get so paranoid that we're going to age. Wrinkles, oh, can't have those. Oh, can't show that picture online. Can't post that on Facebook. Can't send that to grandma because my arms don't look right or something like that. Just don't care so much.
Also, your grandma's not going to care.
No, but I remember, no, grandma's not going to care. But I remember so many times, like, you know, you take a group selfie and everyone like looks at it and they zoom in on what they look like.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh God, I can't retake.
Can't post that.
Because... Can't post that. Please don't post that at me. And I just go, oh, whatever. You're like, oh, are you happy with that? I'm like, oh, whatever. If my eyes are shut, my eyes are shut. Which 9 out of 10 they are.
Might make the photo better if my eyes are shut, to be honest. No, honestly, I love the content that you post. And,
Thank you.
You know, I think keep doing what you're doing. And thanks. Can't wait to see you at the finish. Oh, going to have croissants at the finish line and Paris Marathon.
I'm just like, I just have this vision of us going, you know, London is the last, like, kilometer and it's all Peter and there's people in the stands. I have visions of people like throwing croissants croissants and baguettes at you as you're like crying over the finish line. It's not gonna happen, but that's
someone gave me a beer at London, so you
really?
Never know. Yeah, someone dressed as Saint George handed me a pint, so
I love that. So maybe someone dressed as an Eiffel Tower will give you a croissant.
Yeah, I think I'd actually prefer that, to be honest.